T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
That's solid advice. Last time we talked to Casey Johnson, fans got to buckle up. Going to be some losing coming up, and intentionally so. The Bulls are not going to be summer league champions again. And to discuss this devastating turn of events and other Bulls related things, we bring in our friend Casey Johnson of the Chicago Tribune, who joins us right here in the Hyundai studios, the Hyundai Santa Fe Sport. Oh, what a ride that thing is. And Barry Rosner of the Daily Herald is here. We've got competing newspapers. You guys want to fight? You want to tussle? Or do you actually like each other?
No, we like each other. We're old-time newspaper guys. So we like the business. We like the guys. Well, we don't like all the guys. Some guys aren't as honest as other guys, but Casey's as honest as they come.
We like when Barry carries me in the first few minutes of the appearance, since I didn't have my mic on or volume in my headphones.
Well,
Barry took care of me on both.
You're here mostly for your radio professionalism.
Exactly.
That's what we're counting on.
I'm actually here. You guys had Cott earlier in the week.
We did have Greg Cott. It's All-Star break week, so
right,
it's a nice time to like stretch the legs a little bit, have some people in studio. You're using the same mic that the great Greg Cott used.
All right, but my point is, you talked sports with Cott, so you're going to talk music with me, right?
Talked a little bit of sports and
a
music
lot of sports.
With Cott. Yeah, we did, actually. Some of the commonalities, actually.
It's all up to you, Case. What do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about Cameron Payne.
Campaign. Oh, my God.
You know
Lord.
What?
Wow.
We all do.
Woo!
Yeah. Boy, this just
remind
got
us just for just a brief moment. Give us just a few words on what they said about campaign, what Gar said about campaign when
you know,
they got him.
It's funny because the point guard of the future thing is being thrown around. I actually looked back at my notes recently. I'm not sure that exact phrase was uttered. However, it was kind of implied.
He did say, though, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, he did basically say this was the reason for the trade.
Yeah, this was the guy they really wanted.
He was the reason for the trade.
Yeah, no question.
He's the guy.
And Joffrey LeVern is now a Spur, and they never wanted Anthony Morrow in the
first place.
Don't
get me started on that. I'm very upset about the Joffrey LeVern thing. Very upset about that.
That they pulled the qualifying offer.
Yeah. It's Joffrey LeVern.
I don't know where you want to start. I mean, I was out in Summer League and saw – unfortunately, you know, this you always use the qualifier, it's only Summer League. But this was bad in the sense that they talked about, you know –
Even for Summer League, this was bad.
There are five projected rotation players on that Summer League team.
Right.
Paul Zipser, Chris Dunn – hopefully I can get them all right – Cameron Payne, Denzel Valentine, Lauri Markkanen, okay? And Dunn leaves after the first game for a personal issue. Payne leaves after the second game for a personal issue. So all this so-called chemistry that they're talking about that they want to try to build – leading into camp in the regular season. And by the way, they're playing less preseason games this year because that's a new thing in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone. So I get it's only Summer League, but it wasn't a good one for
them. No,
the Bulls.
it was really frustrating. And
the good news is they're going to have at least a year or two or three or four or five or six of being really, really bad. They can get all the chemistry they need at that point.
And all the high picks that they need. Because that's what this is all about
now.
Yeah.
Well, that is what this is all about, is being really bad and hopefully getting Michael Porter Jr. or somebody else like that. But it's also about the several lottery picks, in their words, that they added. And one of them is Dunn. So what happened with Dunn? Out of family issue? And how much did you even get to see Chris Dunn? And what did he look like when he was out there?
So we saw one game, and we basically saw what everyone saw in his rookie season with Minnesota, and also what all the Minnesota coaches, because obviously we know that staff really well, because it's not only Thibodeau, it's all the same assistants who are here. So I talked to those guys. Everyone says the same thing about this guy. Great athlete, could be a really, really plus defender, but struggles to shoot and struggles to finish. And in one game, that's exactly what we saw. Struggle with his shot. The biggest thing I saw was there were several times where he just showed an explosive burst to the rim, got to the rim. But then when he gets in the paint, he either rushes it and doesn't make the right pass or can't finish at the rim. And again, it was only one game. you can see the athleticism, but you can see why he had struggled finishing last year as well. And that's been the kind of the book on him so far.
All right, so one game was a microcosm of that, and then campaign you saw
One more thing on Dunn real quick?
Yeah, absolutely.
How much of the influence of Thibodeau and maybe the beating that he got from him, how much of that is a factor here? And I don't want to oversell it, but could it play a part in where he is confidence-wise?
No, it's a great question, Barry, and you know, I mean, Tibbs, beyond the fact of the reputation not playing rookies, he's also very hard on rookies. And I have talked to some of the coaches up there who said, you know, getting him in a new environment and kind of getting him in a fresh start might help his career take off. I mean, the athleticism is there. This is a top five pick in the NBA draft. And, you know, a lot of people had him projected top three in that draft. So, you know, the Bulls are very optimistic that he's going to be a good player. But he's got to improve offensively, and he's got to learn to finish better and shoot better. But, you know, his ability to defend was there. There was one time where he was kind of dueling with Dennis Smith Jr., the Mavericks. It was kind of neat. There's like three or four straight possessions where they both went at each other. Mm. And Dunn was like, bring it on. So you kind of like seeing that. I mean, there was definitely some signs of him, you know, being a defensive force. But, you know, he's young, and he's got to be more consistent.
And then Cameron Payne, you saw for two games or not
kind of trying to block it out, but I think it was two games.
and then he left for family issues. Or I mean, are we sure?
I checked both those out. Yeah.
Okay, good. What kind of shape is he in? Was he in? Because that was a concern at some point along the way. Is it still a concern?
No, I mean, he's by all accounts, he's been in with the off-season program every day, and he looked like he put on a little bit of muscle, and you know, he played heavy minutes both games, and I didn't really see that as the issue. Because yeah, John Paxson said publicly after the season that he needs to get in better basketball shape. You know, I just saw a guy.
What does that mean exactly? Do you think?
Well, I mean, this is a guy who's broken a bone in his foot, the same bone in his foot twice. So, and he also hasn't played a lot because he's playing behind Russell Westbrook. So there were times where he flat out just looked fatigued out there. And just like he hadn't gotten used to playing at the pace of an NBA game because he doesn't have a lot of NBA experience. So I didn't really see that as an issue because he played a lot of minutes at Summer League. It's fast action. I just saw a guy who's still struggling to make the right decision and just never really seems to be in balance. He's off balance a lot. He forces shots. He forces passes.
He's got an awkward setup to his shot.
Yeah. I mean, you just got to call like you see it. It seems to me like he's got a long way to go to be a NBA rotation player.
How about the look on Spiegel's face?
You know,
right
you
now?
Know what it was?
Very concerned.
When they made the deal, For it's mid-July. They made the deal for Cameron Payne. I'm like, all right, okay, they like Cameron Payne.
He's completely disgusted.
Oklahoma City knows what they do. What they're doing. They often draft good guys, and then they leave, and then they're good other places. Okay, I'll have an open mind. And then I watched him for a few games, and I'm like, what is his skill exactly? What is it that he does? And then we had Gar on, and I said, Gar, what am I missing in Cameron Payne? And his answer was meandering. He said, we think he can make a lot of good plays in the pick and roll. And you just said the decisions, which is like the only thing that's possible left because he hasn't really shown the explosiveness, hasn't really shown the defending, hasn't really shown the outside shot. So it must be the decisions in the pick and roll. But you just said those look bad too. So I don't know what we actually have here.
Well, the one thing, and I don't know if you guys caught this, the one thing we got with our one media session with Fred Hoiberg out there was that the reason why they're optimistic about campaign is during the playoffs, he was Isaiah Thomas running the scout team in practice. And he performed very well in that role.
Which Isaiah Thomas? Not the Pistons one or the Celtics? A third one who played at like North Carolina A&T?
He was emulating the Celtics
okay.
on the scout team
I got
in
it.
Playoff practices. And they were encouraged by his ability to play downhill, just like Isaiah Thomas does.
Wow.
And so that was...
Downhill, in space.
That was the... That was the public optimism shred that we got.
Here's the problem with Cameron Payne, or one of the problems, but my predominant one. And at some point, Casey, I will be able to just move forward, and dissect the moves that they make in this particular bubble and the forward bubble. But the trade of Taj and Doug McDermott is the emblem for the lack of cohesion overall over the last few years to me, because they gave up a draft pick, entering a period now where you want draft picks. They gave up a draft pick to do it. It was admitting the failures of Doug as well. It ended up being two, you know, rotational pieces for a playoff team. But they got Cam Payne, who then matters less because you get Chris Dunn. Joffrey Laverne, who matters less because you get Lauri Markkanen. And Anthony Morrow, who you never wanted anyway. So, like, that seems like the most absurd. And the Cam Payne thing with Murray State, because the head coach is now the head coach at Iowa State. It's like everything about that trade enrages me when I let myself think about it.
I've noticed and I've heard that. What I will say, let's take that to the broader, a larger point, because this is
the cohesion.
So I think we can all agree that the Doug pick was ended up being a mistake, right?
Mm-hmm.
or a miss, right?
Yes.
Okay, so this is kind of where Bulls management is right now, because this is a critical time, obviously, with them entering a full rebuild. Would we agree that James Johnson at the time was probably a miss?
Yes.
Obviously turned into a pretty good player. I mean, they obviously saw talent and
turned into a useful player.
They got the talent part right, but he wasn't the right fit. Played behind Luol Deng, ended up not panning out here. His body wasn't right. He wasn't as serious, wasn't as committed.
Right, mercurial personality needed.
Here's my point, though. So when we all know GMs, all management teams have misses, right? James Johnson was flipped for a first-round pick that ended up being crucial in the trade to get Nikola Mirotic. Now, set aside what you feel about Nico. At the time, there was a lot of optimism for that move.
Mm-hmm.
So they turned a mistake into a positive. Doug was a mistake that looks like they're turning into another mistake. That's when you get into trouble, when you multiply mistakes.
Yeah, when they compound.
Right, because all management teams are going to have misses.
And yeah.
It's how you move on from those misses. So that's what I'm going to be looking at critically moving forward as they enter this full rebuild, because they've got a hit on the majority of their moves moving forward. Obviously,
when did they decide to make the Jimmy deal? When the offer suddenly was there that night, or how? Because, you know, there's just the timeline of everything doesn't all tie together in a nice cohesive, we know what we're doing sort of way.
I reported the day of the campaign trade that there was organizational alignment for a Butler move if the right package presented itself.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the difference. Is last year, while they were talking with the Celtics, there was still organizational discussion, debate as to whether or not to even pull the trigger if the right deal came up. They weren't just looking at the Celtic deal objectively. They were also debating internally whether or not to even move Jimmy. This time there was organizational alignment to move Jimmy if the right deal presented itself. And that deal, I was told, materialized like 6 o'clock draft night. So, I mean, obviously they've been talking beforehand, but
what might they have missed if they had done it? Because they wouldn't do it a year earlier.
Well, you just look at that Celtics package. You can make the case that it was similar, but you know, it was the three pick, either the 16 pick last year or one of the future firsts from the Celtics. And either there were different names being thrown around, either Crowder or Avery Bradley. It was three or four assets.
What about Minnesota?
It wasn't.
I mean, they wouldn't even talk about LaVine a year ago, right?
Right. It was Rubio a year ago. So it was Rubio, three pick, and I believe five pick. I'm sorry, Rubio and five pick. I believe that's it last year. So you know, here's the thing, you know. I think the Jimmy trade, if you are going to make a Jimmy trade, it's been pretty pillared nationally and I think somewhat locally too. I think if you're going to make that move, they probably got about as much as you can. You're never going to get equal value for an all-NBA player, but they got three strong assets and they're going to be bad.
They didn't have any choice.
You know, and looking around, especially since, I mean, like what the Clippers got for Chris Paul and what the Pacers got for Paul George, the value of a star.
Paul George went for pennies on the dollar.
You can't compare that one, though, because Paul George flat out said, I'm not going to be here. And Jimmy wanted to be here. So you can't compare those two.
But in a year, that's where you'd be. In a year, you'd be in exactly where the Pacers were, and now you're screwed completely.
So you guys sound like you're in agreement that if you're going to make the move, they did okay.
I think you had to. You absolutely had to do it. And I thought you should have done it last year, but absolutely you had to do it.
Here's the thing, though.
Whether they're the guys to get it right or whether they got everything they should have gotten isn't, but yes, it had to be done.
They did not end up with a single unobstructed lottery pick. The fact that they had to give up the 16 kills me. That hurts me to my core for some reason. Aside from the fact that, of course, who knows what that player could be? Who knows? But they were, I think with Jimmy, we all agreed they were two real good pieces away from being a title contender.
Yeah.
And now after Jimmy, I think they're three good pieces away from being a title contender.
I mean, you know,
maybe Zach LaVine, when he recovers, will show you that he's one of those guys that's possible.
I think he's going to be pretty legit.
Okay, good. But like, I don't think there's an alpha yet. I think they're still looking for that guy.
I think Zach's going to be an alpha.
You think Zach's going to be an alpha?
I mean, he'll never be the defender that Jimmy is, but he's pretty darn good. That was a tough piece for Minnesota to give up, which is why he wasn't included in the talks last year. And he only got better last year.
All right. So Zach's got to be great, but you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't feel like I still think they're looking. I personally still think they're looking for that guy, and which is fine because they're going to tank and they'll find it. I just don't think they got it for Jimmy. And I was expecting them to get, you know, one of those lottery picks from somebody else. And I guess if it wasn't out there, it wasn't out there.
The interesting debate, and we asked Gar this while we were out in Vegas, is, you know, given what has happened to the Eastern Conference post trade.
Yeah.
Does it make them regret it all, that decision? Because, you know, you run the three alphas back, you're at least competitive for 1 year, then you got Wade and Rondo coming off your books, you got Buku cap space next year, and you got Jimmy out there recruiting for you, which he's very good at doing. He's already got Jamal and Taj up in Minnesota, which is not a great free agent destination. Jimmy's very good at talking to guys and convincing them to try to play with him. So
you still were never getting past LeBron until the point where LeBron had nothing left, and by then, who knows what Jimmy has
or
left.
Goes west.
Yeah, LeBron's going to be a Laker.
Next summer.
Could
that's what I'm
Could
talking
be.
About. It's a fair debate now that, you know, run the three alphas back for a year, remain competitive, and then build around Jimmy next summer and hope that LeBron goes west. But obviously, publicly, Gar said that they had no organizational regrets about the decision. And look, we haven't even talked about the designated player exception, which, you know, they're never going to say publicly, but certainly I have to believe behind closed doors played a small part in this decision.
Explain that to folks. Flesh that one out.
Jimmy was, you know, one more All-NBA in the next 2 years, and he's due a five-year, $215 million extension.
So they were going to have to end up
It's negotiated. You don't have to pay him that much, but his agents certainly would have been asking for that.
Yeah, and so at the draft next year, you'd have been sitting on a guy who's now a rental for a year, and it's Paul George, and you get nothing.
I agree. So, yeah, I have no problem with them deciding to do it. And like you, if you're going to do this, I would have done it a year ago.
Yes.
And then also, if you do it a year ago, you'd never have the three alphas. Wade and Rondo aren't here.
Right, and you're a year into it.
That's what it is. Like, overall, and the keeping of Pau Gasol at that trade deadline 2 years ago.
It's years and years of the same thing.
So all of a sudden, you've made the decision, and you're further back than you could have been. I mean, you could have gotten a jump on this either a year ago or even at the deadline if you made a Jimmy move. I mean, like, you could have gotten a jump on this in a different way, and instead, here you are. But we're all glad that they're here for the most part. It's a matter of trusting these guys. All right, should we get to the other one that enrages me before we take a break?
No, we better take a break.
You don't want to see me angry again?
No, we can do it. Let's just get angry after a break.
All right, I'll get angry after the break with Casey Johnson because it's his fault on 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
That is Gar Forman, a Bulls general manager, explaining to me and Danny Parkins the day after the draft why they sold the second round draft pick to the Golden State Warriors for $3.5 million. Matt Spiegel and Barry Rosner here with you. Barry's in for Danny Parkins, and Casey Johnson of the Chicago Tribune is here to talk some Bulls with us. And that one drives me crazy. Sorry, I didn't mean to knock. I'm on a conference call. That's a callback to something earlier in the show.
Did you hear me butcher the conference call yesterday?
Sorry.
Casey, you've been on a lot of conference calls.
Tell you that story off the air.
Yesterday, the Rick Hahn conference call begins, and Barry Rosner is the one who doesn't mute his microphone, and this is the way the conference call begins. Hold on. You know that Luddite?
He was not on the call yet, thank God. I was the guy.
That Luddite problematic media person who screws up everybody's conference call, it was Barry yesterday.
Veteran journalist.
Except Barry Rosner.
Yeah. The funny thing is most of them, like the Hawks, and I think the Bulls do this too, is you've got to hit buttons in order to have your audio brought up. Like if you want to ask a question, you know, you have to hit star or seven or whatever it is. Well, I'm not going to tell the whole story again because we did earlier, but I was having some difficulty at home. With branches on the roof, shingles missing, water in the house, and many other problems. And this was the beginning of that. Mm. And I didn't know that I was even connected yet. I thought I was still dialing when my wife was talking to me.
That segment was brought to you by Volvo, and I'm sure they're proud. Get up to $4,500 on a new Volvo vehicle of your choosing during Volvo's midsummer sales event. Visit your local Volvo dealer for details on this limited time offer.
I love the Bob Bechtel response, though. Wasn't that great? All right. Who's the turd who hasn't turned his mic off yet?
That's Rosner. So at the time of the draft, Casey, I really wanted Jordan Bell right then and there. That's actually the guy I was calling for on the Twitters because I really liked watching him with Oregon when I saw him. And then in the tournament, I saw a guy who was like a one-man front line and just had so much heart, etc. Who knows if the Bulls would have taken him with the dart that they did not want to throw. But when the Golden State Warriors call, and this, I read this the other day, the Bulls have the right to ask Golden State who they're going to take.
Right.
Because if the Bulls want somebody, then they're going to buy a pick later. They have the right to know. So then I'm thinking, well, God, if the Golden State Warriors are telling you they like Jordan Bell, maybe you should take them because they know what they're doing. How did they have nobody on their board that they liked? I don't buy it. I have a hard time buying it. And now that Jordan Bell is looking to be even better than what it seemed to me at the time for Golden State, it's just going to drive me madder and madder for the rest of his entire career.
Right. Well, you ask Gar. I mean, he said that they were looking at wings, and they had no wings on their board. It's the same thing he said to us draft night when we asked the same question, right after the draft ended, that they were focused on wing, which is their position in need, mm-hmm. and they value the open roster spot more than just drafting a big. I mean, they wouldn't have drafted Jordan Bell. They drafted Jordan Bell to sell him to Golden State. So
Why wouldn't he fit
next to Lowry Markkanen and be the strong front line guy next to a stretch four?
Yeah, well, so my only guess is that, I mean, and we asked them this, so they look at their roster as having five bigs already. Lopez, Felicio, Portis, Markkanen, and we're assuming that Nico's going to be back at some point. So that's five bigs. So you can't have six bigs. Five bigs don't play. So I'm not defending. I'm just saying that.
I understand.
That's what I'm just explaining. And what they told us.
And I'm not attacking you. I'm getting their perspective.
Right.
I blame you.
I'm just explaining what they told us is that they've got five bigs in their roster. They're unbalanced at wing, which is why they've signed Justin Holiday in free agency. And
but looking down the road, why can't he be a fit on this team?
Yeah, and it's clearly a bad look. I get the optics. It's clearly a bad look.
I don't even
look.
Care about the money and all that. I just don't understand why you wouldn't. I'm not understanding why you wouldn't want the player, physically want the player.
Because they were locked in their mind to a wing.
Right.
Is what they say. They were locked in their mind.
But you're talking about crap.
Yeah, well, you're talking about... So were there any wings? Dwayne Bacon was there. It came after.
That's the one. I rarely in the trib, I always project the guess of the first round pick. Hopefully it's an informed guess. But, mm-hmm. I actually for the first time ever predicted the second round pick, and I had Dwayne Bacon.
You did.
And so did Mark Schanowski, by the way, the great pre- and post-game host
yes.
on CSN Chicago.
Dwayne Bacon, Florida State.
Yeah.
Hell of an athlete.
Really good athlete. Has had a decent summer league. And I had him projected to the Bulls, so... He went 40th, so I was actually a little surprised when they passed on him. I mean, you know, it clearly could have been a money grab. I mean, let's not discount that. I mean, Rondo's buyout was $3 million.
Jake Berger's signing bonus the day before for the White Sox was $3.5 million.
There you go.
So, yeah, it's really not hard to look at it and say, very cynically, a money grab for a team that needs a whole bunch of assets right now.
The crazier part about this, if you want to just – I always love going – because I've been covering – the Bulls for as long as I have, which is both a blessing and a curse, I always say. Mm-hmm. Let's look at that. You know where that second round pick is from?
The Luol Deng.
Yeah.
Deal.
That is the last piece to the Luol Deng trade from 2014 that they finally got from Sacramento, this is the funny part about it. That Luol Deng trade saved them $20 million in a luxury tax payment. And then they sell that second round pick for $3.5 million. So Luol Deng was basically traded for $23.5 million.
This just in, by the way, the White Sox are having a conference call today at 2:00 for Dylan Cease and Eloy Jimenez.
Oh, they are.
I am not going to be out.
Yeah, stay away from it. stay away from it. All right. So what? All right. So the value of an open roster spot means what? Somebody who gets cut at minicamp, or like, what is that open roster spot that they like? What are they going to use that for?
Okay. Well, I mean, Gar also explained this on your interview and also to us the night before, and they've been hammering this theme for a while. What the Bulls are trying to position themselves to be able to do. Now, they haven't done it, and a couple other teams. What's funny is they haven't done it yet, and a couple other teams have already done it.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they haven't found the right fit. Like the Damari Carroll trade would be a perfect example, where a team wants to offload a deal that they don't like on their books and includes assets. So with the Bulls having an open roster spot and this trade exception from Jimmy Butler that is open for a year, you can take a contract. It doesn't affect your salary cap status at all. Right into that exception space. And also hope the team includes like a future first round pick. So that's what they're positioning themselves to try to do to help accelerate the rebuild.
Okay.
Is take on an unwanted deal of a player that they think is serviceable and fits mm-hmm. and isn't a horrible deal.
But we'll add draft pick assets.
We'll add sweeteners to it. Now, Damari Carroll would be the perfect example. He was just traded to the Nets from the Raptors, and they included a first and second round pick. Obviously, the Bulls didn't either want or like Damari Carroll's deal or the player. But that's the kind of deal they're setting themselves up to take. And that'll be available for the next year because that trade exception of Jimmy's will be open until next June.
Okay. I understand all of that. There does seem to be some logic possibilities in there. But I can't say that I'm not going to remain in the place that it was a money grab for a team that was unprepared in round two anyway.
And that Jordan Bell Summer League line really helped.
Oh, yeah, right? Jordan Bell's entire career. It's like when Phil Emery took Shea McClellan and left Chandler Jones and Whitney Mercilus on the board, and I watched them the rest of their career piling up sacks and realized that they could have been here.
I'm not even offended by the money part. I just wanted the player. I mean, how could that be a bad thing to get an athlete like that on the roster? How could that be a bad thing?
Sounds bad. This segment is brought to you by 24/7 Diabetic Health Hotline. Attention diabetics, with insurance you may qualify to get your testing supplies at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Call 800-808-5181.
How do you know who you... Sorry.
That's okay.
How do you know where your bigs are going to be? I mean...
Nico's not even here.
Right, and who cares about any of those guys, really, except for Mark? And who cares?
Well, they obviously already had a deal in place with Felicio because that was announced 30 seconds into free agency. No, I'm just saying. So,
yeah.
So Felicio was already on their books. Lopez is already on their books. Markkanen, they knew they were going to be drafting.
How long is Lopez on the books?
He's got two more years at a very favorable contract. But yeah, I mean, and also,
I mean, he's not your future. My point is, he's not your future. How do you? I mean,
no question. He's actually a perfect guy to trade next February to help with the rebuild because he's got a very low manageable deal, and obviously is a very good player, solid piece, and you can get some draft picks out of him. So,
right,
yeah.
And nothing against him, but clearly not your future. So I mean, I still haven't heard the logic behind
why not Jordan Bell?
Why not? And that has nothing to do with the summer league. I was asking the question that night. I don't understand it. I mean, just a nice guy to have on your roster.
Two more quickies for Casey Johnson. How did the stars look that you got a chance to see out there? Lonzo Ball had another triple double last night. Oh, Dennis Smith Jr., Josh Jackson, and Jason Tatum. A lot of guys playing out there.
All right, so I saw most everyone you just mentioned. I saw Josh Jackson just briefly. Dennis Smith played against the Bulls, so I got to see him for a full game.
Yeah,
that dude's legit, man. This is going to be a great draft. This is going to go down as a very, very deep draft. Too bad
they weren't in the top three, the Bulls.
Or too bad they didn't take Dennis Smith Jr., who was sitting right there, right?
Yeah, all right. I'll get into that in a second. But
He went eight.
Nine.
Oh, nine, excuse
yeah.
me.
So, and I know you always say it's only summer league, but you can just see, and it was already touted as a strong draft before. I mean, some of these guys you can just see are going to be really good players. So I watched the Lakers-Celtics game, and I got to say, I don't really have strong opinions about Ball yet because I couldn't take my eyes off Tatum. That guy, man, he's going to be a player. He hits shots, contested shots, uncontested shots, can create off the dribble, shoots the lights out, really strong court presence, good body. That guy, I think, is going to be a player. And, you know, Ainge, from afar, from the outside looking in, seems like he's getting a lot of heat for the way he's played this thing.
But that's the guy that he wanted all along, right?
And he moved down and got a future first-round pick that could be a top-three pick next year.
Yeah.
And landed Gordon Hayward in free agency. Now, the Avery Bradley trade, I think,
that's going to hurt them.
It's going to hurt. But I think Ainge has played that pretty well.
You're not overall. The first one I've heard saying that about Tatum.
It's... Oh man, that guy, he just jumps at you when you're watching him live. So Smith and Tatum were probably the two biggest ones of the stars that jumped out to me. Ball, you know, obviously he projects like he's going to be pretty good, but Tatum and Smith jumped out to me.
And then why didn't they take Dennis Smith Jr.?
I mean, obviously,
was he on their list of wings that they liked?
I don't know. I don't know much about the Bulls and Dennis Smith. I just had heard that there were some possible issues with him and his coach in college. Now, that was the general thing. That's not linked to the Bulls. So that he had, and you know, we know the Bulls typically
they want character guys. Yeah,
and I mean, clearly, I think Markkanen fits what they're going to long term in terms of shooting and spacing the floor. Mm. Dennis Smith is more of a scorer. He can shoot it, but and look, they're loaded at guard. Not great guards, but they're loaded at guard.
Well, yeah, I don't think they need anybody. They don't need any more bigs, so no reason for Jordan Bell. And they're loaded at guard. I mean, why'd you want a good one?
It's all good. What did LaVine say about possibly being ready for camp? Did I see that in the last few days?
He's flat out telling everybody. I just
is that possible?
Well, he thinks he's going to be ready, but I can tell you, even if he is ready,
they're not going to
be playing him.
And then you're going to Pitchfork this weekend.
I am.
Tomorrow?
Just Saturday. Yeah.
Okay, and you're looking to see who?
I'm locked in. I got my whole schedule. You know, those festivals, you gotta have.
You gotta map it out.
I gotta go. I'm. But the biggest one for me is the Feelies. I've never seen the Feelies live. And
it's a legendary, longtime New Jersey band who's back with a vengeance.
And they don't tour
and
often.
And a family of kickers.
Yes, right. Jay.
So I'm gonna go Feelies to Angel Olsen back to PJ Harvey. Now, luckily enough, during the Bulls Celtics playoff series, I had never seen PJ Harvey, but she was playing House of Blues in Boston, across from Fenway, on an off night. So I caught PJ Harvey at a club show.
What a great place to see her at a club! My God,
I was right on the stage. So I've already seen PJ Harvey now. So that was one of the main reasons I bought the ticket. But now I've checked her off, and I'll be more into the Feelies and Angel Olsen.
All right, and stick around for Tribe Called Quest. New album's good, and Q-Tip is a freaking treasure. Just like Barry Rosner's a treasure.
I will follow your orders.
Damn right. Also, get Jordan Bell back somehow. Casey, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure. You know, I was supposed to do this. Do you remember the day I was supposed to do this?
Yes. Oh, wait. What happened?
Try to remember the breaking story. I'll give you a hint. Playoffs.
Rondo?
Rondo
broke the thumb.
I was sitting at United Center shooting around. I was all scheduled to come in after that, and Rondo broke his thumb and couldn't do it. So I'm glad I'm here today on July 14th.
I was supposed to be on a roof yesterday. So
you're supposed to be on a conference call. Yeah,
well, I was on it. I was on the roof.
Everybody knew it was on the conference call. 30 seconds into the conference call, everybody knew he was there.
You know how you're so...
Yeah, we knew, Barry.
You know how you're so careful? You're so careful not to be, and I can't say the word on the air, you don't want to be the you-know-what on the call.
All right.
And there I was, the you-know-what.
Hey, you know, if you're at the poker table, you're looking around, you don't know who the sucker is, it's probably you. It's 6-7 to the score. Thank you, Casey.
Thanks, guys.
Cubs still interested in a pitcher? That's the rumor. We'll give you that one when we come back, and I'll also answer the Mets question. Keep it here on 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Welcome back in on 670 The Score. It's Spiegel and Parkin Show. Danny's on his honeymoon. Barry Rosner is here today, and I have you for a few days next week, right, Barry? Monday and Tuesday, I think?
You have me Monday and Tuesday.
Excellent. And then Lawrence on Wednesday. Eric at home will join us on Thursday of next week, and then I think Lawrence back on Friday. The Spiegel and Blank Show, right here on 670 The Score.
It's like the old days.
It's like forever.
So Casey was impressed that I outed myself and gave you guys that tape.
Oh, that's
but I think
glorious
that's,
stuff.
That's entirely necessary. When you do something that stupid, I think it's entirely necessary.
I mentioned that the Cubs were still in on a pitcher. Did you see this? Sonny Gray. Supposedly, I think it came from John Paul Morosi, source, Cubs continuing to show interest in Sonny Gray even after a Jose Quintana trade. One reason, vacancy still remains an 18 rotation. Yeah, we know that they're going to lose a couple of pieces. What do they have left to offer to get Sonny Gray? I mean, from the system, unless it is a major league piece and... Are they going to sell low on a major league piece? Does Billy Bean want Addison Russell back?
I was just thinking that.
Right?
You want Addison Russell back?
Right. I mean, because maybe that's a guy. I am supremely unimpressed with the at-bat approach by Addison Russell for the entirety of this first half.
Well, I mean, what about his defense, which, based on defensive runs saved, Rick Camp is laughing because we went through this a few weeks ago. Based on defensive runs saved, he's having a great defensive year. And if you watch the games, you know that he's not.
Well, because he's often distracted or seemingly absent-minded or disconnected. He's having the kind of year that off-field problems look like they're distracting him. You know, it's that kind of thing you can't
and
quantify.
He can't throw the ball to first.
Yeah, that seems either to be an issue.
But what we learned about defensive runs saved is that while it is a metric, it is based on opinion. Someone watching the game and charting the game is giving him a mark based on what they think he has done on that play.
Mm-hmm.
So it is still based on an opinion, which makes a lot of sense because, I mean, whoever's been charting it seems to have a different opinion than a lot of us.
But, yeah, I just...
But yes, they of course are going to look at any available starting pitcher who's under control. Of course they are. As for what pieces they would use to get that done, it's possible it could be off the major league roster depending where they are 2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
Today, I don't think it's anybody off the major league roster. Do they have pieces in the minors? Sure they do. Do they have the kind of pieces left that it would take to get Sonny Gray? I don't know. It probably depends on your opinion of Sonny Gray.
See,
or the market for Sonny Gray.
That's the thing, because the market is not actually really great for Sonny Gray.
Well, why would it be? Yeah. Based on what? Based on a few starts?
Potential of what it looked like a year and a half ago, two years ago.
Well, who knows?
All right, I asked you this an hour and change ago, and I'll give it to you before we get back to the big baseball trade and the fallout therein at the top of the hour. 10 most valuable players in baseball history have played for the Mets. That team has never had one themselves. But who are the 10 MVPs who won elsewhere but ended up on the Mets either at some point after or could be sometime before?
All right, I think I have 7,
okay,
and I think you helped me with an 8th,
right,
so I'm not going to include that one.
Okay, give me the 7 that you have.
George Foster.
George Foster, who won it in Cincinnati.
Mo Vaughn,
who won it in Boston. Easy to forget that he was a Met.
Ricky Henderson,
how you doing? Ricky Henderson, absolutely.
Jeff Kent,
the former Giant as a Met, yes.
Keith Hernandez.
Who won co-MVP in 79 with Willie Stargell, yes, sir.
Willie Mays,
yes. Willie Mays ended up as a Met, as we know.
Joe Torre,
yes. Joe Torre played a lot of places, actually.
Okay, so that's all I have. And you helped me to get to Kevin Mitchell, so I'm not going to include that one because I wouldn't have got that.
Yeah, Kevin Mitchell came up in 84 with the Mets, ended up on the Giants and won MVP.
And then I started going around the field on the Giants when you told me that, and eventually got to Kevin Mitchell.
There are two more. Campy, do you have one? You think you have one of the two left?
Terry Pendleton.
No.
Oh, Yogi Berra.
Yogi Berra.
Ah, Yogi Berra.
Yogi Berra. Yogi Berra is one. And then the only one left is the one I said at the very beginning I didn't think you'd get, because I didn't get it, and I was like, okay. Ken Boyer.
Oh, yeah, no chance.
No chance of getting Ken Boyer. Cleet Boyer's brother.
Wow.
No chance of that one, right? But there you go.
He won his MVP in St. Louis?
Okay.
I don't actually know.
All
that.
I know is it's on the list.
I'm going to look up Ken Boyer.
Okay.
The Boyer brothers.
Well, there you go. But that's a fun one. I knew you'd enjoy. Good job for you with the 7. That's impressive.
Yeah.
You would have gotten to the 8th. You would have gotten to Kevin Mitchell, too. I bet you would have gotten there.
I don't think so.
No?
Actually.
Okay. But anyway, this segment was brought to you by Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant. It's pretty hot out today, right? So if you want to stay fresh, grab yourself some new Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant. 91% of guys who use it recommend it. Phone lines are open, 312-644-6767. If you want to hop in on anything, including some of the Bulls conversation or the baseball conversation about that incredible trade yesterday. And if you missed it, Barry, I thought, used a wonderful word in his column in the Daily Herald to describe the feeling of seeing that trade from both sides. We'll expound on it next on 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.